Hello and welcome to Altair Heartstopper,
a podcast where we normally talk about SCOM, but today we're talking about Heartstopper, a really cute show on Netflix that Ben and I need to squeal about.
Oh my God. Yes, we do. But yes, I'm Ben.
And I'm Claire.
Claire, how are you doing?
Well, I am currently planning and busy packing for a trip that I leave for in less than 10 hours. But also reeling from this like cute as hell show that we binged yesterday.
Oh my God. Yes. We were like, we have to finish it. Another episode. You're going somewhere, Claire. Okay. We'll pause. I swear I won't watch anymore without you. Get your ass home quickly.
Yeah. Which listeners, like when Ben and I were in closer time zones, would happen much more frequently. We're like, we'd watch a show. We wouldn't watch it. We would wait for each other and then we'd watch it together. But like when I was in Ukraine, obviously that wouldn't happen. So it's kind of a big deal, like for Ben to have waited. Like, thank you, Ben.
Yeah, you're welcome. It is such a big deal. Also, I think it's easier because this show is only what, 8 episodes? And it says that like the running time is like 30 minutes. Not really. It's like 26, 27.
Right.
So it's easier for us to binge. And so it reminded me of like when we watched like Love, Victor.
Yeah.
You know, it was easier. Yeah. Whereas like shows like Elite, Money Heist, Dark, those shows have subtitles. They're longer. It takes more brain power for us to like watch them together. But like something like Heartstopper, oh, so much easier.
I mean, even the difference between Heartstopper and Love, Victor, like Love, Victor had significant darker periods or like periods with more drama and also characters that we didn't really care for. Whereas Heartstopper was literally just like smiles the whole time.
Oh my God. Sunshine, rainbows, lollipops, kittens, everything.
Yes. But yes. Okay. How are you? I mean, besides the puppies and kittens and rainbows.
Okay. Everyone is well aware that I did not get to go to Las Vegas to see Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Miss Rona made another visit to me. Hooray.
This is twice now, right?
Twice now, yeah. But this time around, I'm fine. Like, I seem fine? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Vaccines work, people.
Vaccines work. This is day 4 of my quarantine. But yeah, son of a bitch. Like, okay, this is the angst of the episode. I'm really upset that it happened. So I'm alone now, you know, all alone in this apartment. Jason did go off with his friends. He did test negative and then we quarantined and all of that, like separately. So he's fine. He was really sweet. He was like, oh, I'll stay home, you know. I'm like, no, go, just go. So that sucks. However, Heartstopper being released this same weekend. I mean, is it like my consolation prize? Yes.
Yeah, because if you were in Vegas, you wouldn't be able to watch it, any of it.
No. I mean, I would have like found time. I would have been like, oh yeah, you guys go gamble. I'm going to like stay in the room for another 30 minutes.
Right. But then we wouldn't have done this podcast episode.
That's right. Okay. So also, speaking of which, people, our schedule here is out of whack because you're going to hear this episode before the episode that Claire and I recorded discussing drugs, season 4, episodes 2 and 3. Yes. And so like we recorded that last weekend and that episode's not supposed to come out till like the middle of May because just think about the schedule because, okay, in like 2 days, I'm going to release the Luis Maria Daniel interview. And then this episode will probably come out like right after that because we got to strike it while it's hot.
Right. Exactly. Give the people like a week to watch the show so they're not spoiled. And then if you haven't seen all of Heartstopper in a week, well, that's your own damn fault. And you shouldn't be listening to our podcast in the first place.
Why are you clicking on the link, right? Why are you clicking on this episode? Facts. But yeah, so just a heads up that, yes, you're going to listen to this episode, people. And then you're going to hear our next episode, which is the one that Claire was on. And you're going to be like, what? Why is Claire talking about something that we already know happened? It's because it's out of order. This podcast, yes, we try to have a schedule. But when shit like Heartstopper happens, we got to like talk about it.
Time is an illusion. So just go with the flow and pretend you're in a weird space-time continuum. and just go with it.
Just go with it. You know what's funny is that I've always envisioned this podcast, like, getting to this, like, format. Like, us, like, yeah, we love Scam. Trust me, we love Scam. But, like, yeah, eventually at a certain point, we were going to, like, talk about other things.
Right.
Like, we were going to have, like, Alt-Air Halloween, where we would talk about, like, scary movies or something like that. Or, like, Alt-Air Victor, Alt-Air Elite, or it's just something like that.
I mean, we did have, like, didn't we have ideas for that?
We did,
or yeah, something. I feel like I can't find the notes for that, but I feel like somewhere. we were gonna do other stuff, like, branch off.
I mean, there are so many things to talk about. That's why.
I know, we have so many thoughts.
So many mostly, thoughts. Mostly,
though, with Heartstopper, we have so many feelings. I mean, I cannot tell you how many keyboard smashes I did yesterday in reaction to the show. It was like, bah!
I'm sure my neighbors are like, what the fuck is happening? Why is there screaming from that apartment? Yeah. Why are there squeals? Yeah.
I know. It was silliness.
So people, there was no real format. Like, Claire and I have some talking points, but, like, you might expect just a bunch of, like, oh my God, we love it. Oh my God, this is great. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Who knows how much depth we're going to have, but heads up.
I would, yeah, like, heads up. One of my talking points is just oi.
Oi.
It's just oi. Like, that is just the oy. Whole talking point. So if you're like, I'm not about that life, tune out now. But if you're like, oh, I would like to listen to a podcast where Claire and Ben talk about something related to oi, then, oy, you know, keep listening.
Right, right, right. Okay, so we don't have any real business. I mean, what business? There's no business. We're skipping that. All right. Are you ready to dive into our deep appreciation of Heartstopper?
I'm so ready.
Ready?
And?
Hi.
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 Hi. Hi. You guys can't see this, but Claire and I are just waving to each other, like, the dorky way that Charlie does it. The endearing.
That's another one of my talking points. It's just waving.
Waving, waving. Okay, okay, okay. Go. Go first. What's your first talking point?
Okay, I guess my first talking point is just that I could open a whole Instagram account dedicated just to Nick Nelson.
Oh my God. Nick and how much I Nelson. Love him. We love him. I mean, yes. Yes, Charlie is our boy too, but Nick fucking Nelson has all the qualities that a guy or girl or they should have, right? Yep. Like, that's what you should aspire to date. He is fucking honest. He is sincere. He's honorable. He's upstanding. He is adorable.
He's heroic. He's heroic. He's just, like, pure sunshine. And just, like, I wanted to protect him, yes, and hold him and, like, just pinch his cheeks. I just, like, he's a little baby small bean and I just love him so much.
Like, we always talk about people with, like, hearts of gold. He truly has a heart of gold.
Yes, he does. Like,
is there a bad bone in his body?
I don't think so.
No, no. And okay, what I really like about him is that he is aware of his feelings and when he's unable to express himself. Like, he's like, I don't know what's going on. I'm going through something. And he's able to verbalize that he's going through something, that he knows that something's up and he wants to do something about it. Like the gay tests, you know, mm-hmm, or like when he showed up to Charlie's place in the rain and he was like, I'm having a full-on gay crisis. And like, yes, he knows what that, like, that he's going through, but he doesn't know what's going on. So I love that he's able to recognize that, you know?
Yeah. And then when you compare that with Ben, not Ben. You, Ben,
I know,
but
I know,
the antagonist of the show, Ben.
Ugh. Okay, Ben and fucking Harry.
Ugh. Oh my God, yeah. It's like, so Ben is like the antagonist for Charlie, mm-hmm, and Harry is like the antagonist for
Tao, Charlie,
and for Nick.
And for Nick, yeah.
I mean, like, Harry is the antagonist for everyone, right?
Yeah.
But like Ben and Charlie have their issues. But Ben and Nick don't really have any issues,
no. But we're not going to talk about them yet because we are still on our love and appreciation for Nick Nelson.
Okay, so one thing that I love that Nick Nelson does is he has, like, the proudest smile. Like, so often when he's looking at Charlie, he'll just, like, have this proud smile when he's looking at him, like, during the music concert, and he's smiling, or, like, during rugby and he's smiling, or just like anytime it's like kind of like one lip is kind of quirked, and it's just like, it's so wholesome.
He is so supportive too. I love that he will gaze into a crowd just to find his Charlie.
Yeah.
You know?
They're so nice.
And like, okay, yes, yes, he and Charlie are like forever, whenever, but like, I feel like Nick is that kind of person that would be friendly just to anyone. Like, had it not been Charlie sitting next to him in form, he would have been just as kind. Yes, he and Charlie have a special kind of connection, but like, let's say it were like Tao that ended up being like his partner in form. He would be just as friendly to Tao.
Yeah, he would have. And, you know, I think so many of his friends are shitty, but it's because he gives people a chance.
He does. He really does.
And it's because he's got that big golden retriever heart.
That is like the perfect description for him.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so pure, so like unassuming. And like, I think about that moment when like, it was just like a throwaway scene moment where like, he like the pen like explodes at him. He's like, oh my God, look at me. It's like so fucking cute, you know?
Right.
So he's goofy and he's like, you and I would be like freaking out over that. But he's like, ah, whatever. No, like so happy-go-lucky, carefree. I love it.
I know. And he has a personality.
Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, and that's the cute thing too. So my comment about the oi was that I feel like there's a moment where they're sitting down and Charlie says something and Nick goes, oi. And it's like a cute little, like, I don't know, like teasing jab at Charlie. And it's just like, it breaks the tension a little bit. And it's similar to when he's like, you're not allowed to say the S word. Like,
yes, it's just like, I was just thinking about that. Yeah.
It's just perfect.
God. And okay. Do we want to talk about him and Imogen? I mean, because I feel like that's related.
Yeah, sure.
Because yes, like with him and Imogen, that was a different kind of dynamic. And I was so ready to hate on her.
Yeah.
Like really. But then that conversation that he had with her on the bench, you know, and yes, he brought Nelly, sweet Nelly, which I'm like, oh, should he have brought Nelly? But then he explained that like, it's her dog died. It's so nice. But like, he could have been a jerk. He could have brushed it off, but that's just not in Nick's personality. It's not in his fiber, like his being. And like, he sat her down and he was truly honest with her in a way that it wasn't like soul crushing, you know, like he let her down gently, honestly.
It was to the point and it was clear, but it wasn't brutal or vague. It was just like, we're better friends. I don't see you that way. I still think you're a great person.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's what we all want. Like if we were to be rejected, we want that.
Yeah. And then he kind of had that whole explanation about like feeling like part of you was asleep and, you know, and I do you think that she was picking up on him talking about his sexuality or what do you think?
I don't think she was picking up on his sexuality. I hate to say this, but like, I don't know if she's that deep, you know, she's kind of like vapid and you know what, go her for, you know, doing her thing and her rogue hair and all of that. She's a fine character. I think that moment was like a glimpse into her depth, but I don't think she was picking up on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like props to her. Like I said earlier, I was ready to hate on her. You know, especially when she was like, oh yeah, Nick and I are a thing. Oh yeah, we're like properly dating. That's not her voice, but you know.
No, I know. And I think that what the show does well is that it still shows them as teenagers. Mm-hmm. And like teenagers do that shit where you're like, that's dumb and stupid and pathetic. And oh yeah, I did that too. You know, it's like, oh yeah, that's similar to what I did when I was 14.
It's so weird how like on this show, I'm so much more forgiving of like their actions. Whereas like certain shows and characters like Love, Victor, like I'm not forgiving, but on a show like Heartstopper, like I understand them more. I'm like, oh yeah, they're teenagers. I'm gonna like let that slide. For most.
So because the two main characters are kind of like doing everything right, so that like
the show is doing everything right, the writing is doing everything right, the acting is doing it right. I think that's what it is. Because like, yes, okay. Yeah. And I think with a lot of shows with like the main couple, it's hard. Yes. Okay. I'm going to admit it. I like Nick more, but that does not take away from my love of Charlie. I love Charlie too. I do. But like on certain shows, I always like one character a lot more. Okay, we're going to bring up Evac here. Isak and Evan. I love, love, love Isak a lot more than I love Evan. Yeah. Like, it's really imbalanced.
Right.
Right? Whereas, like, on Heartstopper, I love them, like, not equally the same, but, like, it's so much closer. And I think maybe that's why, too. Right?
Yeah. Because they each have such strong strengths. Okay, Claire. They have such strengths they bring to the table. Uh-huh. And each character is so endearing in their own way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's like they're truly lovable in their own way as they well.
Are. Yeah. Okay. You brought up how like they're always right. Like, what do you mean by that? Like, they don't have flaws.
I mean, like, okay. So in so many of these shows, we see characters kind of getting into dramatic or uncomfortable situations mm-hmm. where you're like, oh, this is so cliche and it's unnecessary. And like, we know it's not going to last. So it's kind of like, and Charlie will start to do this like self-sabotaging, right? But it never lasts for more than like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like in other shows, it'll last like a whole episode. And it's like, as a viewer, it's really frustrating to see that because you're like, mm-hmm. I know they're going to get together. Why can't you just give me the happy content that I want to see in the first place?
Yeah.
So I feel like the show does a really good job of like giving you the conflict, but then being like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Actually, we'll work through it together.
Yeah. I feel like, and I have a note about that, that the struggles on the show, like it's realistic, but, and it's also like resolved easily, like as it should be. Like it's not that big of a deal. Well, yes, like certain issues are a big deal, but like the drama that's presented, like you can work through it. And yes, it's uncomfortable and you're going to struggle a little bit, but it's like a productive struggle.
Right. Yeah. Which I appreciate. Yeah. And I think that's what makes the show feel lighter and feel like a warm hug.
We described it like what? Like a warm hug. A ray of sunshine. What else did you say yesterday?
I said a chocolate chip cookie out of the oven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like fresh, clean laundry.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that you throw in your bed and you just jump on top of it.
Yes.
Oh, that's what the show is.
It is.
That's what Nick Nelson is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, this is the kind of show where, so like rewatching Scam, for instance.
Uh-huh.
I would normally like skip like the more dramatic or heavier episodes,
mm-hmm.
you know, in Evac season, like when there's like a lot of conflict in the friend group or like, I just like, don't like watching that over and over and over and over again. Right.
It's hard to watch sometimes. And sometimes you're just not in the mood to watch.
Yeah. But this show, I could literally watch every single episode over and over and over and over again.
Oh, guess what I was watching before we started recording? Yeah, episode 4. Yeah, I was like, I gotta watch the scene where they're like meeting up again in the rain. How adorable that is. Yeah,
because I want to rewatch that.
Yeah, because okay. A fear of mine was like, okay, they made out in episode 3, right?
Yeah.
Like they kissed. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, that's early on. You know, I love watching couples get together. And once they get together, sometimes it kind of fizzles. No, not with Charlie and Nick. Like mm-hmm. it was still like moments of glee and squealing for us.
Exactly. And doesn't follow that typical format of like, they get together. There's a terrible conflict and they are separated until the very end.
Oh my God. Like at the party when Charlie ran into Ben, ugh, fucking Ben. I was like, okay, this is what's going to happen. He's going to get back together with Ben. Ben's going to be a little obstacle for like an episode or two. That did not happen. And I love that didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, I was like, oh, Nick's gonna, and like at the IMAX or whatever, I was mm-hmm. like, oh, Nick's gonna like be with his asshole friends for an episode or two. Mm-hmm. Nope. Nick ended up getting into a fist fight with his friend. Like
mm-hmm.
they didn't fall into those tropes.
No. Okay. Bring it back to Nick too. There were so many instances where like Nick, like, yes, stood up for Charlie, but also like stood up for everyone when he was like, hey, Harry, that's really homophobic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like he didn't need to say it, but he wanted to say it.
Yeah, and I think it is such a good example for mm-hmm. so many kids out there of how simple, I mean, easy is not the right word because it can be hard to stand up to friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of Hogwarts right now when Dumbledore is like, Neville, You stood up to your friends. 10 points to Gryffindor. but like, it's just saying, hey, that's not cool. That's homophobic. Like, to a friend is a simple way to be an ally.
Yeah. Like, Imogen's an ally.
Yeah, I'm an ally.
I'm an ally. I was like, yeah, Imogen, now's your chance to prove it. But like, the way that Nick brought it up, and like, Nick has such like a soft voice too, like his demeanor, it's mm-hmm. so friendly. So like, when he brought it up to Harry, he wasn't like sharp, you know, it wasn't a pointed tone. And so I think that really helped. Harry is a jerk. And Harry was like, I'm not homophobic. Yes, Harry, you are. Like, fuck you.
Right.
And so I just appreciate how Nick does the right thing. Like, he brings it up. He's not afraid to call it out.
He was raised correctly, which, yes. Speaking of which, oh, Olivia God. Coleman.
She is so generous with her time. She was like, oh, yes, I'm in this next Oscar-winning film. I have like 2 hours. Let me just go off. I'll film with Heartstopper. Bless yeah. you, Olivia Coleman. Bless you.
I just played the Queen in The Crown. But sure, I'll just go off in this Netflix special and be in like 3 episodes.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I'm going to have like great moments, wonderful moments. You know, like that scene where Nick comes out to his mom, she said the right thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I love mm-hmm. how she said, like, I'm sorry if I ever made you feel a way that like you couldn't talk to me about this. It's like, no, yeah. no. Like, and that's something that I want parents to like know, is that like, parents can be very open and supportive in ways where it's not like, oh, go gay people all the time, you know? But like, it's your child's journey. They mm-hmm. have to feel comfortable with their own sexuality and being and open enough to talk to you about it. It's nothing that you're doing. And yes, sometimes right. parents do make like snide comments and like comments that they don't mean to make. But like, you know, just be patient and do what Olivia Coleman did, where she was like, you know, I love you. Thank you for telling me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think the patience is key, because Nick had been struggling with it for months up until that point, but he wasn't ready to talk about it until he brought it up, mm-hmm. you know, and if she had approached him with it, he might've gotten like skittish or I don't know, but.
You know, what's weird is that like on the show, like they kept saying like, oh yeah, I've known Charlie for months. And like, blah, 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 like this happened. Oh, it's, you know, the second semester. But like in my head, I'm like, this all happened in like a month.
I know. I think it's over the course of a term. I think it's from like January until July, summer? June, summer, yeah. because it's New Year's when they come back to school. Mm-hmm. And then I think sports day is like the end of the year.
Yeah. Because remember that one throwaway like comment when Ben's like, why are you wearing a jacket? It's not even cold. And Charlie's like, it's February. I'm like, yeah, it's so cold in fucking February, people.
I know, that was funny. It's February.
February. I think. Okay, if I had like a, like, you know, and we're gonna talk later on about like what did not work, because yes, this show is wonderful, but is it like perfect, perfect, perfect? I wouldn't say perfect, perfect, perfect. I have very, very
perfect, perfect, perfect,
perfect. Because it is pretty fucking perfect to me. I just have like minor criticisms, like small, just small, because you know we got to critique it. It's like yeah. maybe I need to see more like indicators that time has passed. I think like on like. American shows, like we have like silly holidays that we can like mm. oh, okay, that's St. Patrick's Day. Oh, okay, it's Easter. Oh, it's this and that. Where it's like, on this show, did we see it? Kind of.
You know what? I would go back and now that I know that it takes place over the course of multiple months, I kind of would like want to go back and look for these markers mm-hmm. of holidays of, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Because it did snow in the beginning, then it was kind of like rain. It snows in the beginning.
There's rain, and then mm-hmm. there's, it's sunny outside.
Yeah.
In the last episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, they do look older. Like I will say in the last episode, they do look older.
Do they?
I think the characters, yeah. Okay. But it would be really funny if they shot that first, because sometimes they don't always shoot the episodes in the order of the.
Yeah, 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 sequential.
Yeah, so. Mm-hmm. It's like Isak's hair moment that you hate.
Oh my God. I was thinking about that. I was like, don't bring it up, Claire. Don't bring it up.
Well, I brought it up. So
yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. 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 I'm sure we're going to talk more about Nick, but are we ready to talk about Charlie?
Yeah. Let's move on to the
Charlie Spring. Okay. Tell me, what do you think about Charlie Spring, our small bean?
First of all, I think he was perfectly cast.
Mm-hmm. Joe Locke and Kit Connor. We got to shout him out.
Yes. So I have watched approximately 1.5 interviews, which is not a lot. But Joe Locke, I can automatically tell, is very different from Charlie, like affectation, personality wise. And so automatically, like, Joe Locke is a great actor, and he's given Charlie these like little quirks, like the the smiles, like the way that he carries himself, the waving, the dorky little like mannerisms. Oh. He's just like a precious piece of cargo that needs to be protected at all costs. Yes. Like if I considered Isak to be a small bean, I think you said last night that Charlie is like the smallest bean.
Yes. Yes. The smallest, like fetus, like
the smallest
embryonic bean. Yeah.
Well, embryonic bean sounds very weird.
It does.
So let's not call him that.
Okay. He's still in the pod.
He's a pod bean.
He's a pod bean. Okay. Funny enough, you mentioned the interviews and stuff. I you know, saw a lot of interviews because last night you were like, Ben, watch the interviews and tell me which ones are great. Which I'll send you the great ones. There was an interview where Joe Locke said that he's a combination between Charlie and Tao.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
I can see that. So like, you know, you said that like you can see how he's different from Charlie, but I actually see a lot of similarities with Charlie.
I mean, like, of course he's similar because he's playing the role and you're going to be similar to the role that you're playing.
Yes.
But I just meant in the terms of like, Charlie to me is like this little ball of like bubbling energy.
Uh-huh.
Like always very like smiley and like just a bunny.
Yeah, yeah.
And I see more of Tao because in the interviews that I watched, Joe Locke was more like sassy, sarcastic.
Yeah.
But I just love like, you know, I think that Charlie's a really good character because he has a lot of insecurities, but he also has a lot of strengths. And it's like, one does not mean you can't have the other, right? Like, he knows he's good at the drums. He knows that he is like, well, a good friend, but like,
he's like academic,
he's really smart. Yeah. Like, he does go through some insecurities romantic wise and his self-worth, but like, you can be confident in some areas and insecure in others.
Yeah.
It just makes you one or the other.
Yeah. It makes you a more well-rounded, three-dimensional character.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And like, yeah, you brought up his insecurities and we talked about this, how they're so fucking relatable. They're so relatable. I think he wants to be loved. You know, he's yearning for that. And then I think, and I'm going to bring this up, is that like, I think that's, I'm going to say, as gay people, as queer people, like me, speaking for myself, like, like, why do gay people, queer people connect to shows like this? I think a lot of us did not get this experience in high school, you know, like finding a lot of things like that. Like me, yeah, I had a boyfriend in college, but like all throughout high school, you know, I was confused and everything. And like, I mean, I figured out my sexuality when I was like 14. But then, you know, like once you like figure it out, then it's like, okay, now how can you express it? And it was like very hard to express it in high school because I wasn't out. But like, well, to some friends I was. And I was like, oh, I'm bisexual first, which we're going to talk about bisexuality too. I wasn't bisexual. I'm not. Wow, this is me opening up. It's kind of hard in a way, but you know, I'm going to do it. Is that like, yeah, like you feel like you're missing out on things, right? Like you watch so many shows, so many movies where it's like, oh my God, all these teenagers are falling in love. But like, it's a bit harder for queer people, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. And I feel like a show like Heartstopper is going to make it easier because, and it is easier. There are so many teens now that are just so open and proud and together. And I love that. But like, so like watching these shows, it's kind of like you're putting yourself in these characters and like, oh my God, they're so lucky. It's so cute that they get to love and be in love. And I feel like Charlie is that sympathetic character. Charlie is that person where you can like easily find yourself in him and like relate to him and not want to be him, because like, I feel like we are him in a way, and like his yearn for love and just wanting to connect. Like, and we saw that with like Ben, where it's like, he was so forgiving of so many things and so like willing and giving, and you know, it's like, oh, you're giving it to the wrong person, but like I can see why you're doing that, because you want to get that back as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why the graphic novel and then the show is so successful. It's because it is so relatable on so many levels. you know, and that like all these insecurities and at its very core, like wanting love and to be loved is just like to be human. And I think from a lot of those interviews that I watched, that I'm sure you watched too.
Your 1.5 interviews. Yeah.
The 1.5 interviews I watched. They said like one of the reasons why they wanted to do this show in the first place is so that LGBTQ youth could have that representation and could see themselves on screen in love. And I think more and more we're getting that. And this is just like a really great representation of just like queer love and joy and discovery and all that.
Yes. Love, joy, fluffiness, because a lot of shows, a lot of queer shows, movies, one of the characters always dies, right? It's always about pain. And even like when Nick was researching gay history, he saw a lot of like articles about like negative things within the community, you know, like, oh, bullying, hazing, things like that. But like watching Heartstopper, you get to see, the joy, the love.
That's
what I love about the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, you know, Charlie wanting to be loved. And I mentioned that too. You know, we always talk about you don't need to find someone else to be yourself. You are perfect being alone. Not that you're alone, but you're perfect on your own. But at the same time, you know, like people do, you know, and I'm not everyone, but like a lot of people want to be loved. They want that physical affection. And Charlie is just like emblematic of that. Like, you know, he just wants to be loved and we want him to be loved, you know.
And he gets it, which is just the best.
Yes, yes. He's just that character that you root for, you know, like you want to see him triumph. And he does.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
Yes, he does. He
does, you know. And like when we talked about how like when Nick asked him to join the rugby team and that moment before he entered the locker room, like he heard people talk about him and he could have easily turned around and just walked off. But no, he was like, I'm still going to do it. He like entered and he showed how brave he was and is and to continue that. I mean, come on, that sport, rugby, which is a little confusing.
Ben was like, when it was 14-0, he was like, whoa, that's a lot of points.
Claire was like, it's actually 6 points for each touchdown. I don't know.
Which, to be honest, I think it's 6. It might be 5, but it's definitely not one per point. It's definitely not 1 point per like score or whatever per drive.
And then later on, when it was like 35, we're like, okay, now it's bad for them. It's dire.
Yeah, now it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think his bravery, I was thinking of his bravery too when he talks to Ben.
Uh-huh.
It's like towards the end and he's like, leave me alone, stay away from me, I don't want anything to do with you, just like you hate yourself, like he like tells him off and stands up for himself, and I'm like, yes, Charlie.
Yes. And that's like a 180 from how he was before. Remember when he was like, it's fine, you know, I've been bullied before, I'm just gonna take it, I'm gonna like lay low. But no, don't do that. Blossom. And he did.
I know.
Yeah. And that's what I love about Charlie too, is that like, not that I don't love his past, but like we get to hear snippets about what happened to him the year before, you know, and we get some like flashbacks and it sucks, but it also shows that like, it's always darkest before dawn, right? You know, like the sun will come out and it was dark for him, but he persevered. It gets better.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Do you remember the three people I compared him to? I said he's like an amalgamation of three people, appearance-wise.
Oh, appearance-wise. Yes. Hold on. Because all I'm thinking of is is what I told you.
Okay. I'll give you a hint. Driver's license.
Oh, yeah. Joshua Bassett.
Okay. Turkish Delight.
Yeah. Edmund Pevensey.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the last one is... I think he sang a song called Kings or something like that.
Oh, the guy from Years and Years.
Yeah. Ollie Alexander.
That's it.
Yeah. Yep. He's like, he's a combination of all three, appearance wise.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, who's
Mark next? My words, like in a few years, he's going to be like model, like he's going to have a glow up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's already a cutie.
Yeah,
he is. I'm rooting for all of them. All of these actors. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Okay. Who's next, Claire? What are we talking about?
I don't know. I feel like my notes are nothing compared to yours. So
mine aren't anything. I just list the characters to talk about. I'm going to talk about L. Can we talk about L?
Sure. We can talk about
L. Love L. And like, speaking of bravery, Elle is so brave and chill and complex. Like, I almost wanted to use the word complex for Charlie, but I'm like, no, I'm saving that for Elle. Because mm-hmm. she is. And again, fucking representation matters, people. Did not expect this. And like, I love that we get to see not just like a trans person, but like a trans person of color. And we've talked about how it's so rare to see a show with the storyline and it being positive and having an actual actress with that experience portraying the character. Right.
Exactly. And I think too, what comes to mind when I think of Elle is that she is such a good friend.
She is, yeah.
And, you know, and obviously like there are other traits to describe her as well, but I just think of like when Tao was upset because he didn't get told about Nick and Charlie and she goes over to watch a movie with him.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, that's like something a true friend does. Like when you're not asked, but you know something's not right and you go over and you are with your friend and you take care of them and kind of like always, or like always knowing how others are feeling. She's very empathetic.
Yeah. I feel like she's like the calm, sensible one. Like she's like the rock in that group.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah,
very much so.
Like Tao kept saying like, Elle, talk some sense into Charlie. Like Nick is straight, you know? And she's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, she was wrong. They were wrong. But still like,
yeah,
she was the one that like, okay, I'm going to give it to you straight. No pun intended. But like, yeah. I'm the one who's going to like break it to you. And she did it in like a wonderful, great way. And like, it saddened me to see that when she transferred to Higgs, that, you know, she didn't have friends, but like, people, are you fucking blind? Like, this girl is amazing. Like, the friender, ASAP.
Okay, so I do think it was realistic that she didn't make friends right away, because in what kind of high school do you like move and then automatically make friends, right? Like, it's going to take a while, but I like that no one was overtly mean to her. It was just that like no one was like, oh, hey, let's go talk to the new girl. Until, of course, she makes friends with Tara and Darcy. And then that is like a whole great friendship happening.
Yeah.
Which I love for lots of reasons.
We're going to talk about them. Yeah.
Yes. But it did make me sad at the beginning when Elle lied to Isaac, Tao, and Charlie that she like had a bunch of friends. And that
Like, I'm flourishing, but she wasn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like, I think it was also her just taking her time too.
Yeah.
And again, like with her, again, I don't love her past, but I love that we got a glimpse into like what happened before that, you know, she was at Trim and, you know, like, oh, she kept getting suspended for her hair length and things like that. And, you know, her teachers weren't calling her by like her name, by Elle. And so she had to transfer. And now she's like in the environment that she should be in.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so again, it's also like, you're going to struggle for a bit, but then you're going to find yourself in the right place. So it's a great message for people.
And I thought that was interesting that the show and book, I'm sure, had that parallel of like the girls' school and the boys' school.
Yeah. But they kept
it allowed
mingling.
Yeah. And it allowed for us to have these two separate stories and these two separate worlds that we could see into.
Yes. I love seeing Charlie and Nick, but whenever we saw like a focus on Tara and Darcy and now I'm like, ooh, yeah. More of this content. Really, the show should be like 10 episodes, 12 episodes.
Yeah, I agree.
45 minutes long.
And the best thing, which I'm sure that you are dying to talk about too, is that the stories complemented each other.
Yes. And that, snaps.
In that like Nick and Charlie story and Elle's story helped Tara and Darcy, and Tara and Darcy's story helped Nick. And Nick and Charlie's story. And so it's like they were all helping each other in this like really cute, loving way without even like knowing it.
This is the proper way to have these stories interconnect. Take note, people, show writers out there, this is how you do it.
This how you do it.
Right in it. Yeah. But yeah, so Elle, just I'm rooting for her. The actress, Yasmin, beautiful, stunning, slay bitch, love her.
Do we think there's going to be a season two with her and Tao?
There better fucking be a season two. Write letters, people. Yes. So yeah, let's talk about Tao now. And we'll talk about Elle and Tao. So yes, like I love that they are keeping it for season two. They're going to keep it for season two. Like they have to.
Yeah, like, right. There needs to be something.
if they had focused more, I mean, there was a healthy serving of Tau and L in season one, but I think if we saw more of them, then be like, oh, okay, it's a little too much going on. So like, yeah. we got to save it for season two. And who knows if you know, they're following the books as well.
Right. So Tau is actually the one character where I'm like, not fully sold on Tau.
I knew you weren't sold on him.
And it's because I feel like he was like whining or negative for like 80% of the show, which I get that like being a teenager, sometimes that's their whole personality.
Yeah.
But I would love to see him like joyous or not mad / complaining / butthurt. But I think that he has great potential and I think he's a great actor. So I like
William. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that like I have hope for Tau.
Yeah. I feel like Tau is, yeah, he's a different energy, which is great because we kind of need that, like, he's not a spark, but he's like a catalyst for things. Like everyone's like on the same wavelength, but he's on a different one. Mm-hmm. And so he brings like a different kind of tension to the show that's needed. And I appreciated him from the start. Yes, he does fall into that like archetype of like the quirky best friend.
Yeah.
Like the one who's like a little bit lippy and like he loves movies. He hates the Avengers. We love the Avengers. Hot guys, Chris Evans.
So like Stan, sign me up.
Sebastian, oh my God. Yeah. So yes, I can see your complaints. Think of him as like Seth Cohen, because I know you like Seth Cohen.
Okay, you cannot make that comparison.
I knew that was going to bring a reaction. But no. As in, like, he is the quirky best friend, right? He's like the Judy Greer in movies.
Listen, I see Tau's
purpose. I'm not saying he is Seth Cohen, but he fills that niche, that role.
I'm not saying he doesn't fill a role. I'm just saying that hopefully he has more, like, I feel like, okay, the great thing about Nick is that we saw like the whole circle of emotion.
Yeah.
We saw anger, joy, like desire, conflict, confusion, happiness, sadness. Like we saw it all. Mm-hmm. Tau, we saw like this much. We saw like one third.
Well, we did see a different side of him when he's with L.
But not always, because sometimes he's bitching about other shit.
Yes. But then, you know, we have like those like cute moments when he's like, oh, you know, like, let's not have anything ruin our friendship. Or like when he's like, you know, twerking his ass, or when he's like, oh, rub the freaking like logo off my face. And he's being like cute and like, you know, funny. So like those are glimpses.
For those 5 seconds that. Each of those are glimpses. Happen.
You gotta like savor it, Claire.
Okay, but I'm just saying that those glimpses still don't make up the whole spectrum that's what I'm looking for, of human emotion. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I get it. So you're saying Tau doesn't really work, or like he's still workshopping? Or
I'm saying that Tau needs to be fully developed in the same way that Nick has been fully developed.
Well, it's because love Nick, okay? Like, it's just...
Nick because he's been fully developed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, if Nick hadn't been fully developed, if we only saw Nick, if he'd only been, like, positive and had never been, like, angry or sad, I would have been like, bro, what's wrong with you? Yeah. Okay? So I want to see in season two, I want to see Tau, like, flourish.
Okay, do you want him to have a storyline like Felix from Love, Victor? Where, like, again, similarities, right? Quirky best friend. But like Felix had that depth to him.
Felix has depth. That's it. I want the depth.
So you want something tragic to happen to Tau?
No, I just want depth. I want the opposite of tragic. Because to me right now, it's like nothing is tragic is happening to Tau. And yet he is all drama.
Oh, I mean, he had that, like, he's been a victim of bullying as well from fucking Harry.
Okay. Not to be like melodramatic, but like we've all been victims of bullying and like... Like he can, I just want him to like show some joy.
Speaking of which, did you not love it when he was smacking Harry with his beanie?
I did like that.
That was funny. It was very like Vilse smacking that person with her bag.
Yeah.
But yeah, I brought up Jughead because does he not look like Jughead? Like, shouldn't he have been Jughead? Right?
Yes.
Because I fucking hate Jughead from Riverdale.
Yeah, like, Jughead sucks.
Barf. But so yes, like, and again, representation matters. Like, oh my God, it's an Asian character, you know? And I feel like Asian guys in general aren't very represented in like shows and things like that. So it's like, oh, great.
Especially as like a main character.
Yes, yes.
Too. Yeah.
I really love Tao. I think, you know, he's quirky. He gets things rolling. He has some, you know, great movie
He's lights. Like Metamucil.
Metamucil.
He gets things rolling.
Oh my God. Okay, but you know what? He is so much more fleshed out than Isaac. What do you know about Isaac?
Oh my God. Isaac. Oh. I'm convinced that like they brought Isaac to set and Isaac like got sick and had to leave. And so they were like, okay, well, he's in four scenes. I guess that's good enough.
You know, they presented Isaac as like, oh, he doesn't really talk much. Well, then you know what? He talked too much to be a character that supposedly doesn't talk a lot, right?
It would have been better if he had just like been in the background.
Yeah. Or scenes. Like just always like holding a book or something like that. Or just nodding his head, doing something with his face, like facial expressions to like show what he's thinking.
They could have made him like a hard of hearing character.
That too. Yeah. I just feel like with Isaac that they were like, oh, Isaac already knows. He figured it out. So it's like, okay, then maybe he's like perceptive. Maybe he's smart. I felt like that was a stretch that like Tao was the last person to figure it out.
Yeah. I think, right. Like when did Isaac figure it out? Is it when he walked in on them in the nurse's office after the rugby? If I had walked in on that, I just would have assumed that they were like maybe close friends. Like maybe something was like percolating, but I wouldn't have been like, oh, they're boyfriends. I wouldn't have been like, oh, they've made out.
It reminds me of that meme where they're like, history will say that they were best friends.
Yeah. Yeah. So I agree. It's like how'd they get from like point A to point B.
Yeah.
Like Isaac saw them together, therefore he knew.
I just feel like they were like, okay, we need another person in this trio. And you know what? We're just gonna have Isaac and he's gonna be severely underdeveloped.
Yeah.
Which, you know, sucks for the actor, but interesting. Whatever. At least he's, you know, gets some screen time.
Yeah. Good for that actor.
Good for that actor. Okay, but you know what? We're done with him. All right. Okay, so next up we have Tara and Darcy.
Yes, sir. Who are not just friends.
They're not. History will say that they're best friends, but no. Did you know, though? Did you get like a sense that they were together from like the early scenes?
Yes. Like the first scene. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh. In my head, I was like, are they going to go there or is this like a deep fake where like you're meant to think that they are, but they're not? Like I was like, which way is it going to be?
Right,
but then when they were doing the exercise in French about like, do you have a boyfriend or girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
And Darcy was like, no, I don't have a girlfriend or I do have a girlfriend or whatever.
She
said, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, I think there was like
a
scene earlier where like Tara just does like a half second glance. When I think Elle was like, how long have you guys been friends for? Like, yeah, best gal pals. And Tara just kind of looks like a little different, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to go there either. Because usually most shows will just do only a gay relationship. They won't have like a lesbian relationship. I'm like, you go, Heartstopper, for including both.
It's like a little mini Queer as Folk.
Yes. Although Queer as Folk was just all gay. And then like one like lesbian couple, right?
Yeah, well, that's like this. It was Melanie and Lindsay. And then.
Yeah, but this show, what's the gay couple? It's just Charlie and Nick. Yeah, we have Ben, but whatever.
That's true. Is Isaac gay?
You know what? I got some like vibes. Maybe it's just the actor that might be queer and that's coming through.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
But anyway, so back to Tara and Darcy. At first, I thought they were presenting Tara as like the most popular girl at Higgs. But I think that teacher just was like in tune to like who's who the class and was like, oh, Tara would be the best person for Elle to befriend.
Yeah.
Because Tara's just like so cool. You know, she's so like chill. And again,
right. And friendly and open.
Yeah. Another actress of color. You go, Heartstopper.
Yeah. That's one thing we noted is like the representation on the show is phenomenal.
Yeah. And it should be reflective of actual society.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I do love Tara's story and conflict about like coming out and like the pressure, and then obviously like the impact that social media can have on coming out, and especially like how to deal with other people's opinions, like both people that you don't know and then people that you do know in person.
And those like fucking bitches at the school who kept making these like homophobic comments. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Seriously. But like, again, it just shows that like, yes, when you come out, you're going to get these reactions. Of course, it's going to be positive. But of course, you know, to balance it out, you're going to get these like fucking assholes making these dumbass comments. But guess what? Those people don't matter. You're going to realize, oh, okay. You're going to say those comments. Bye, bitch. See ya. Take the trash out.
Right. And I think eventually, like in the episode where they have the concert and they get locked in the music room.
Yeah.
Tara eventually does realize that she has Darcy. She has now Charlie and Nick and Elle and Tao. Like she has all of these friends now that support her and support them. So who gives a fuck what these like other bitches are saying?
And the same thing goes for Nick. Nick abandoned those shitty ass douchebag friends, and now you have like this new group.
Yeah, which that's really hard. Like having friends for years and years, and then realizing like, oh my god, they're actually shitty people. Like they actually aren't good people.
Like you think about like in your group of friends, like why are you friends? Are you just there because of the circumstance? Because like you're just hanging out? Because like, oh, I know that person who knows that person who knows that person. So like in a group, like are you really close to everyone?
Right.
Okay. So with Darcy, I love that she was a more open one. And so like, you know, you get that balance between like the more reserved partner and then the partner who's like, I don't give a fuck, because like, you know, Darcy, kind of like Tao, marches to the beat of her own drum.
Right.
You know, she doesn't give a fuck.
No. And she's more outspoken. She,
yeah.
She's the one who's like more outwardly trying to get Elle and Tao together. She's the one who doesn't care what people are saying about them. Yeah. She definitely has fewer outward insecurities or fewer fucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Love the lesbian representation. And I also love that, like we talked about earlier about storylines connecting, that hey, Nick and Tara knew each other when they were younger. And we got that little like flashback to young teen Nick and Tara.
I need to honestly go back, pause it. And then like, look at baby Tara and baby Nick forever. Because I'm going to be honest, I was looking at baby Nick, if I'm being honest, in a split second.
Yeah.
He looked like a little baby cherub.
Oh, like again, our little beans. This show is like filled with beans. Small, cute beans that we just want to cherish and nurture.
Small, cute beans. So small cute. Beans.
Oh, this show is great. Beautiful. And we love Tara. We love Tara. We love Darcy. They're a great addition to the show. They're a great pair. Their energy just vibes with everyone else.
And I like that they don't push Nick, but they listen. Mm-hmm. Like when they get lunch with him. In that one episode, they listen and he tells them about him and Charlie.
Yeah.
And they're like a welcoming safe space for him.
Safe space.
And it's like, yes, like they're all there for each other. And it's like, that's so nice. That's so important.
And yes, they serve as inspiration for Nick. And this is our segue into our favorite scenes, right, Claire?
Yeah.
Oh my fucking God. Oh my God, Claire. That scene at the party, at fucking Harry's party, where our boy Nick is just walking around and he sees Darcy and Tara dancing to Church's Clearest Blue. Fucking love that song. Favorite song of the series. I loved that song before and now it's like on repeat now. And he sees them and they're just dancing, not giving a fuck. They're in love. They're joyous. They're feeling the music, they're kissing. Then we see the confetti falling down. We see the rainbows. We see them laughing and spinning around. And Nick sees that love. He sees that, hey, this is a same-sex couple having fun and being out and proud. I can do that too. I want fucking Charlie. That scene, Claire, seriously, tattoo it in my brain. I fucking love it. I rewatched it last night, saw it again this morning. It is like hands down my favorite scene of the season.
And what I love about that scene is like when you go into it, you think that it's going to be Nick and Charlie having a kiss maybe on the dance floor, right?
Yeah.
Like, but it's so much more special that it's Tara and Darcy having their moment and then Nick witnessing this moment and like seeing it for the joy and the love that it is and like the love and joy that ignites in him and how it has this ripple effect.
Yes, yes.
You know, which like I think this show is also going to have a ripple effect of kids and teenagers and adults and other showmakers like looking at this moment of joy and saying like, hey, I can do that too. Like it's inspiring. And I think that moment inspired Nick. And I think that the show will inspire others as well.
Snaps, mad props to the show for that. And just that scene, it's like, it's fucking art. Like I could go on and on and on. Like seriously, like, you know, we always talk about Call Your Girlfriend, right? And I fucking love Call Your Girlfriend. Clearest Blue is like,
I know,
side to side, side to side. It's great. And I love that it's not Nick and Charlie too. Like that caught me off guard. Like, you know, like, of course, and I have my favorite Nick and Charlie scenes, but like for this scene to be like my top scene, I'm like, wow, like it's even surprising myself.
Yeah. And I love to like the scene immediately after, if I can speak to that.
Of course.
We're, okay.
Talk
okay.
on and on, Claire.
When Nick grabs Charlie's hand. And is like pulling him through the crowd and it's just holding his hand.
Yeah. Something so small.
And like, it's such a small gesture, but like you would not do that with a friend.
No,
no.
And you can, just, you can if you want to.
Right.
But like you, generally no. Yeah.
Generally no. Like you just probably wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a confident, like public display. And I think you had said like, you love their PDA and you love their like, just like little touches and kisses and stuff. And,
love it.
And then like the running up the staircase and just like them being just like boys and just like, so like whimsical and silly and racing. And then like the tension then of like being in that big room together. And then not only their kiss, but then their second kiss, like,
They were generous with the kissing. Like, on certain shows and movies, like they'll kiss like once or twice. Like I remember in Love, Simon, I was like, oh my God, they kissed twice. Wow. Giving. No, this show was like, here's a fucking feast. You have leftovers galore.
I know. It's like here in each episode, there's a couple of kisses.
Yeah.
And it just reminds me of like the last episode when Nick was like, oh yeah, we're boyfriends. You didn't get that before the eight times we made out.
Oh, I love that scene. Oh my God. Oh God. Their first kiss too. Oh my God. Yes. I love that scene. I have so many, like it's kind of related, but like all of the scenes of them running through the hallways, again, like top 10 scenes for me, like that happened in that episode, episode three. And then like just them racing through the hallways after like the sports day, I think it was the last episode. Love that too. Darcy and Tara racing through the hallways again. Loved it. And when the whole group was trying to find Tara and Darcy, just like, it's very Breakfast Club.
Oh, yep. It is.
Yeah,
it is. And then I just want to throw in, I think like, I was trying to think like, hey, what's my favorite moment? And I think my favorite moment, him showing up in the rain, first of all, when like that surprised me because it didn't follow the stereotypical, like, they're not going to touch each other for an episode.
Yeah, drama.
So he shows up. I'm having a gay crisis, a full-on gay crisis. Just like, poor little baby.
Okay. And then Charlie apologizing. He's like, I'm sorry. I was reading it wrong. And I know you didn't want to kiss me. I'm like, oh my God, Charlie, stop.
Yeah.
But you're cute.
Stop it. And then Charlie giving him the umbrella. And then Charlie, bye. And then Charlie running after him and kissing him.
Fucking precious. Precious.
I love, I mean, moments in the rain, like, I love, but it was just like, and then the smile that Nick had afterwards was just like, oh, smitten and just.
Smitten kittens. Fucking love it. Oh,
so good.
So good. Related, but not, and I brought up the Breakfast Club and we'll get back to our favorite scenes, but like, I feel like this is like in vein of like a lot of like 80s movies, maybe early 90s of like, just like light, easy romantic movies. And again, like this show feels kind of like timeless aside from like Instagram and texting, but like they didn't have a lot of, oh yeah, maybe like movies, but I don't know. It seemed like you can put it in like different eras.
Yeah.
You know, which love story should be timeless.
No, I agree. And I mean, if you were to put this into an era based on their style of dress, I feel like it could fit into present day. It could fit into 2000s. It could fit into maybe the 90s. Like it can kind of go different places.
I mean, Tao's hair is very like 90s slash like Gen Z now.
It is the flips to the front.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. It's also like very cartoonish. So I wonder if that it was like that in the graphic novel.
Yeah. Which, speaking of which, we have never shouted out the author yet. So let's give some props to Alice Osman. I think that's how you say her name.
Osman or Osman?
Yeah. Alice Osman, Slay Queen.
Alice O.
Which, by the way, so like, I did a little research. I didn't know that this wasn't the first in the series or in the universe that she created.
Is it not?
No. So apparently there was another book and it was focused on Tori Spring, the older sister.
Oh.
And like her and some guy named Michael, that she's some like pessimistic girl who meets this guy who's like upbeat and positive and an optimist. And then her brother, Charlie's in the series too.
Oh, okay. So, and then ostensibly it continues with like the other characters.
Sure. I think so. I didn't do that much research, but yeah. But no, so I think it's great that like, oh, wow. You know, Heartstopper, it wasn't the first. Which, okay. So I'm going to bring up Tori for a second. I feel like Tori did not work for me in the show.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. Why didn't she work for you?
She didn't work for me because she was removed from everyone else. So like we only saw her with Charlie. Like she could be like a figment of his imagination, for all we know, right?
That's so true. Yeah.
We talked about she was just there.
She was like isolated from anyone else.
Yeah. So I feel like the role that she played could have easily been filled by Tao. Like similar vibes, right? You know, she was more pessimistic and more like dark, gothy girl. Not really gothy, but you know what I mean? Like those vibes. And so like her lines were just kind of like, kind of throwaway. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess she's there because, you know, the first book focused on her. And so like, you know, oh, it's great that we get to see Tori in there, but like maybe they could have fleshed her out more.
Yeah. And also I made this comment when we were watching. She just like looked so much older too.
Yes. Like Moaning Myrtle.
Yeah. Okay. I just felt like she was out of place. You're right. Like she wasn't connected to any other characters. It would have been better if we had seen her interacting with Elle or Isaac or Tao, because they would have all known each other probably. Or even if she had like been in the car when Charlie's dad dropped him off places. Like,
yeah. How much older is she then? Like, is probably, she of driving age?
Well, they take the bus together to school. But she's at least, I mean, she's got to be at least 1 year older, right?
Yeah.
So she's either 16 or 17.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe like she could have been the one driving him to the party and picking him up. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, yeah, so she didn't work for me. Does she go to Higgs?
Yes, she does.
So again, could have seen her, you know, walking past Elle, Darcy, Tara, something. She could have been at the concert too.
I mean, okay, I say she goes there because they were dropped off together and then she like walked along to, you know, and she was wearing a uniform. But for all I know, she didn't go there. But I assume she went there.
I think they could have incorporated her more into the show.
Oh, yes. And maybe she was just there as an homage out of respect to like the first graphic novel or whatever, but it kind of did feel like her lines were mostly throwaway. There was only like one sort of significant scene, I think, that she was involved in. Otherwise, it was just very random.
Yeah, very random. I will point out that I didn't know this, but in her book, there was a focus on Charlie, and apparently Charlie had or has a severe eating disorder.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was wondering why they didn't bring it up in this one. Maybe it wasn't brought up in Heartstopper. Maybe he's recovered. I don't know, but I just thought that was like an interesting little tidbit.
That is. I mean, if I had to guess, it's because that would have been like one too many storylines for them to deal with, but maybe they'll tackle it later.
Yeah.
Or in a prequel. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's interesting. Yeah.
They better film that prequel now because those actors are going to get older and older.
And get snatched up.
I know. Seriously, right? Seriously. I hope they've locked them. Not that I want people to be locked into contracts, but for this show, please, all four volumes. We talked about how we want to see Nick and Charlie go to college together, get married, have kids, get into the workforce, go on vacations. We want it all.
I just want to watch scenes of domestic bliss. Is that too much to ask?
We want happiness. Okay. And you know how I can be like a cynic, right? With like shows and couples.
What?
Like
me
a cynic? I always say like, oh yeah, they're great together. I love them together. Are they really going to get married? Are they really going to be endgame? I feel like with Nick and Charlie, they are so like already mature in their relationship. And so like in tune with one another that I can actually see them getting married if they choose that path. I can
see
them
forever. Let me write this fanfic for us.
Please. Okay. So, please.
Okay. All yours. So they stay together through high school, college, whatever the Brits call it. And then they attempt long distance university. They have some tumultuous times. Uh-huh. They break up so that they can try to see other people, quote unquote.
You have to. I'm sorry. Yes, you have to do that. Yeah. You have to explore.
They realize that they still love each other. Mm-hmm. After graduation, they bump into each other in the same city again, as fate would have it. And they get back together and then they get married a few years after that. And Bob's your uncle. There is
your
happy story.
Love it. Alice O, you hear that?
This, or like fan fiction writers around the world. Sure. You hear
I might, I'm not even like a big fan fiction person, but I might look up some fan fiction.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here, people. I'm that ingrained into this universe. I actually gotta get the books first. I want the books. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Like, you know me, I am like notorious for like starting books and never finishing them. I have like three books I need to finish. So we'll see if I actually go through with this plan.
Well, it's a graphic novel, so it'll take you less time.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. We'll see, people. I'm not making any promises. You know, I gotta buy more books and plants.
Yes, true.
Yeah. Okay. Other favorite scenes. We have to talk about Snow Day, right?
Oh, their cute little boyfriend photo shoot.
It was their first date. I don't care what people are saying. I'm sure people agree. It was their first date.
They're like, no one disagrees with you, Ben. No one disagrees.
But like, seriously, just like coming over, being so cute, Nick giving him like a sweater because he didn't bring one over.
And then later the picture of them for his birthday.
Yes. Oh. Oh my God.
So the thoughtfulness kills me.
Oh, when he was like, you didn't tell me it was your birthday, which first off, he should have known. But then he was like, you're not giving me enough time to get you a gift, but he still came up with the perfect gift.
The perfect gift.
It's just like, it's like their own family, the two of them and Nelly.
And it's just like, it's those moments like that where they weren't even noticing how they were with each other, right? It's like, but when you look back at the photos and you see how close they were and how happy they were, it's like, look, Nick, look.
Oh, so fucking natural. So natural. Okay. Also, Nick noticing that his char, by the way, the nickname for him, love it, that he got a haircut too.
Yep.
And then playing with his curls too. Oh.
Yep.
My fucking heart, people.
It's like, Nick, keep listening to all of your instincts because they are adorable. Yes,
they are right.
And romantic and cute as fuck.
This is what we want, people. Seriously. Okay, I'm going to bring up Jason because I always do. But like, watching all of these scenes, I'm in fucking quarantine. I'm like, Jason, please come back. Seriously, end this fucking quarantine so I can see you. But yeah, like I was like, oh, I need my hugs now. I need my boyfriend now. You know?
They just like gave us all the things that we want, like them lying down, them playing in the snow, them roughhousing, them running, them holding hands. We just needed them with bicycles.
Oh, I had that written down. I was like, where is the obligatory gaze on a bicycle scene? Is that season 2?
It better be.
It better be. We need that. And speaking of which, I love how Nick, when he and his mom, you know, the great Olivia Colman, were choosing films, he typed in, you know, wonderful or like the best LGBT movies. And what did I say, Claire?
Youngins.
Youngins. I mean, that's another lighthearted, fluffy, cute movie.
It is. It is. But I want more fluffy moments in that movie. Like, you know, like that's a great example of a movie where I'm like, give me more of the cute.
More. Yeah.
More of the cute.
More cute, please, please. But and we have it for Heartstopper though.
Yes. Which, okay. That moment though, when they watch the movie and Olivia Colman's like, I remember when you were obsessed with Keira Knightley. and he's like, oh shit, Orlando Bloom.
Oh, Orly. Oh my God. I mean,
I was just like, Orlando
Bloom looked good in that movie.
He did his eyes, like, mm-hmm.
Okay.
I just feel like that was so, and he's like, oh my God, is she realizing? Does she notice? And
she
like,
notice?
His mom
yeah,
is
yeah.
oblivious.
Which is the perfect segue, and we're going to talk more about our favorite moments, but like into bisexuality and how the show is not erasing it. Because we always talk about like, oh, bisexual erasure, not on this show, not on their watch. Mm. They're like, bisexual people exist. Yes, they do. Nick Nelson is bisexual.
And he is a heroic king. So if this heroic king is bisexual, then people that are bisexual are fantastic.
And, you know, and like people are always like, oh, and you know, and I am the perfect example of someone who's like, oh, hey, when I was younger, I was like, I'm bisexual, but really it was a stepping stone. And like, there are some people who are like, oh, like bisexual guys, they're just using it as an example. They're going to end up with like a girl. Oh, no, they're going to end up with a guy anyway, you know, but like, no. And again, like, I think there are different degrees of bisexuality. It is a spectrum for certain people. Certain people are like 50-50 or 70-30.
The Kinsey scale, as we all know. Yeah, I mean, I just think like it's completely healthy to, like, very rarely is life in absolutes. Mm-hmm. Very rarely is life black and white, mm-hmm. right? And so it's really hard. I mean, Nick does a lot of research, like,
he does.
And one of the YouTube videos he watches is like, yeah, and you freak all the time. You're like questioning yourself, like, you like girls and you like boys and you like girls. So then you're like, wait, I tricked myself. I like boys. So it's like super confusing when society tells you you should do one thing and then turns out like, oh, you can do both. Like, that's confusing and there's no clear quote-unquote rules, and he's just like a brave little king trying to sort out through everything himself.
Yeah, and it's like it's his personal journey, it's everyone's personal journey. And look, if Nick Nelson decides maybe I'm not bisexual, maybe I am pansexual, or maybe I am gay, certain people, yeah, it is their pathway, and that's okay. We cannot fault them for that. Or if he ends up with a woman, which no, he won't. He's going to end up with Charlie. But like, okay. So like, just in real life with bisexual people, you know, if they're like, oh my God, he married a woman. Then it's like, so what?
Right.
He's bisexual. He can, or like she can end up with a man too. Just because you're bisexual, it doesn't mean you're going to end up with the same sex partner. You know, right. It's beautiful all around. Love wins, people.
Yeah. And the terrible thing is that kind of bigotry can come from everyone. It comes from straight men and women, people of all genders, you know, it's like people of all sexualities, bisexual people themselves who kind of like have internalized this biphobia, like it really is terrible. And so again, like this show has that representation of a great character just figuring it out.
And it's Nick Nelson out of all people. It's Nick Nelson. We love you, Nick Nelson. We really do.
We love you, Nick Nelson.
We love you, Kit Connor. Oh my God. So people, like Claire and I took a break during this recording, but like on that break, I saw that Kit Connor posted like some more photo shoot pictures and he looks, he's over 18 or he's 18 people. So it's okay for us to say that. Okay. So, like, you know, we talked about how, the show has bisexuality, as the gays, the lesbians, as transgender representation. And I think a lot of times, like on shows, it can feel like heavy-handed. It can be like, oh my God, they're just throwing everything in the pot. But like with Heartstopper, it was just seamless.
Yeah, it felt very organic. And I think that's just the way that it's so they introduce the characters and the way they introduce the plots, and because human beings are like very complex and it just worked.
It worked. Like seriously, like all the right ingredients, the perfect like time to bake. Why am I giving this analogy? But you know what I mean.
Ben can cook, kind of.
I cannot. And we've talked about how during this quarantine, I've been like, not struggling, but like, man, I am just ordering food left and right. Uber Eats is like my best friend because Jason does all the cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, it's the perfect like confetti, funfetti cake there.
Oh, funfetti cake. I love it.
So like, you go Heartstopper for that.
I know. I love it.
Okay. What's another like favorite scene of yours? We talked about the rain. Love the rain. Their first kiss. Snow day.
I mean, I love the beach scene.
Yes, the last scene. Yeah.
The last scene, I think for obvious reasons, they're both happy. Nick feels probably more like himself than he has in a long time. Mm-hmm. We get to see, I love the montage. Sucker for a montage.
You know it. We were like, let's have this montage here, people.
Yeah. Cuteness, lying on the beach, kissing, playing in the ocean. Like, It's just all good.
Like Charlie putting his head on Nick's chest.
Yeah.
Again, snapshot, frame that, please. We want that.
I know. I love it.
But yeah, like that scene, it was just cute. It was like, it's them on a date together, being out and proud, being in public, kissing one another. Nick hoisting up Charlie and running into the ocean. Yes, I did mention, I did comment like, oh my God, his socks are wet down in his shoes. But like, we can ignore that because it's fucking cute, people. His like proclamation of love, you know? It's like, I am proclaiming I am with Charlie.
I like Charlie Spring in a romantic way.
In a romantic way, yes.
That was so cute.
It's just like him being carefree.
Yeah.
Was it a little
at all costs.
Yes. Was it a little cheesy? Yes. But like, I don't fucking care.
No, I don't care either.
I don't care.
I know.
I love it. You know, like we crave these moments of happiness for queer
people. I know. Okay. Well, so those are my moments.
Those are my moments too. Another thing that did not work for me, and you know this, and I maybe it's like an homage, a call out to the actual like to the graphic novel, but the animations for me did not work.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan of them. Like, I liked the beginning. I liked the title cards, but like, and like, okay. I'll be positive. Like, I love when Nick was like hesitating whether or not to hold Charlie's hands, like the spark, like that's cute. And like, you know, clearest blue scene with the rainbows, but like other moments, I was like, they don't really need it. It made it seem too youthful for me.
Mm, okay. That's fair. I think most of the time, I didn't have a strong feeling about them one way or the other. Mm-hmm. I did like them with the hand that you mentioned. Uh-huh. There were moments, though, where I felt like it didn't add anything.
No, it just doesn't add. Yeah.
You know, like, especially when it was like the little like hearts above the, like between L and Tau, for example.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Often there were like hearts in their, like above their heads. I'm like, of course, like we already knew that. Like, I was like, that doesn't add anything. Mm-mm. But I definitely think it was an homage to the graphic novel.
Yeah.
Like, and as like, a way to mix the mediums.
Yeah. And like, I can ignore them. It's very minor too. I'm just bitching because I can. So like, that didn't work for me, but like, I can ignore it. I mean, every now and then it's fine. It's not like Lizzie McGuire animations, but it's, you know, it's something that like, didn't need it. I guess I'm okay with it.
You're such a big person, Ben.
I am. This is growth, people. I'm growing. It's
growth.
Growth. We want that. Okay. Did you see the trailer before watching the show?
The only trailer that I watched was like, I forget. I feel like I watched one trailer, but I can't remember if it was one that was like posted on YouTube or if it was the one that was on Netflix. You know how sometimes like Netflix, if you wait too long on something, it will like play the trailer of that title.
Yeah.
Because I thought their kiss was interrupted.
Yes, you thought that. And I was like, it's not there.
Yeah. Yeah. Because in the trailer, I think they did it in a way that it made it seem like it was interrupted.
Yeah. Because I hadn't heard of the show or the books, really. until you sent me something on Instagram. You're like, oh, yeah, we're watching this, Ben. I'm like, oh, gays? Cute gays? Sold.
Such an easy sell.
Such an easy sell. So I actually did not see the trailer until last night when we were done watching. Because I was like, oh, let's see what the trailer is like. It's always interesting to see it afterwards. And the trailer is like way different. The trailer presents it in a way of like, they're like friends and maybe there's like a romantic like spark between them. And like, he's just kind of protective, Nick Nelson. Whereas like in the show, it is like immediate between them, like episode two, really. And then like three, they like make out. So I'm like, oh, so the trailer does a great job of like, kind of like making you thirsty for it. Like, ooh, you're going to want to watch it. And it is going to pay off.
Yeah. Because in the show, you never doubt they're going to end up together. You just doubt how it will get there.
Yeah. Like the struggles and things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I also spent like a good 20 minutes watching people react to the trailer. Cause like, I think with a show like this, and I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of the Scam Universe fans too, they're feeling it. And, you know, I think we've all adopted and like brought Heartstopper into the Scam family. But like a show like this, like it makes you so happy that you want to share it with other people. Cause you know, we're all feeling the same thing. We're all just like so joyous over it.
That is true.
Yeah.
Cause I think so often, you know, you said that, especially with these like LGBTQ movies, there's so much tragedy. Mm-hmm. Someone dies or they don't end up together or there's heartbreak. And it's like, finally, we get to see the joy and the love and the positive stuff that often isn't shown in media. Yeah.
Okay. I have one more character to bring up.
Okay.
Just very briefly, Mr. Ajayi. Mm.
The art teacher.
I love his inclusion too, because again, it's an adult character that's queer. And yes, he's like wise and like sage and all, but he's also kind of like, I'm still a teacher. I'm going to give you like some tidbits, but I'm going to go back to my job. You can chill here. This is your own little like safe haven, which is great. So like, I really like that. And again, a person of color too. So like, snaps to the show for including him as a character there to give advice, tell him like, oh, you're crushing on a straight guy. Good luck. You're going to feel the pain and the suffering.
Right. No, I felt he was a realistic teacher mentor.
Uh-huh.
Because so often I feel like shows will have teacher mentors who cross the line,
mm-hmm.
who get too friendly, or, you know, they're giving out like too much personal information, too much advice. Mr.
Schuster, Glee.
Yeah. Or like Edge of 17. There's like that teacher. I don't know. Just like all the teachers ever on every show, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I just really liked this art teacher because he was there for Charlie and was like, here, use my space.
Yeah.
It's a safe space. But like, I got shit to do.
Yeah, I got shit to do. I'm like running classes here, but like, you can eat lunch here. And then Nick came there to eat lunch. I swear. I was like, it's going to be fucking Ben. Ben's going to show up. But no, it was Nick.
I thought so too. I didn't think it was going to be Nick. I thought it was a fake out. And then we were both wrong. Again, the show proving us wrong. Again, the show.
Exactly.
Not being like cliche and actually being good.
Yeah. And speaking of Ben, not myself. I wonder if like in the next few volumes, they're going to explore his character because he clearly has his own path too. He, you know, is misguided and all. I don't need to see it, but you know, it's like, I hope he finds his way.
I hope he finds his way too. I don't really know that I need to watch or listen. I would rather just see more of the characters that we've already.
Yeah, I'm trying to be sympathetic to like little gays. But yeah, I don't need to see it. I'm just hoping it's there. I don't need to watch it. But again, like with Ben, like the difference between him and Nick, because okay, Charlie did go through kind of the same thing, but Nick is worth it. And Nick was so much more communicative, much more open. And so he is worth it. Whereas like, what the fuck did Ben give him? Nothing. He gave Charlie zilch.
Nothing. False promises, like a whole bunch of smoke up his butt. Just nothing. But nothing. Like you said, like Nick, it's not the same situation at all. Mm-hmm. It's not the same. Nick was very open about his feelings. from the very beginning.
That's why he's a king. King
That's
Nicholas.
Why he's a king.
He is a king. And he loves dogs, which is always a plus.
Yes. Nelly is adorable.
Oh, Nelly's the greatest. So I've gone over all of my top scenes. I brought up the song that I love, Clear as Blue. Any music that you want to highlight?
Well, I also had Clear as Blue.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Blue. I wanted to add
Alaska.
Okay, so I'll just, yeah, I have Alaska.
Yeah.
I love Maggie Rogers.
Uh-huh.
Just so much. But also Alaska is the song when they like are running, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's like when they kiss too.
Episode 3.
But I went to Spotify and downloaded the entire playlist, which I'm going to listen to on the plane later.
Yeah. Baby Queen, right?
Yeah. And I also, What's It Gonna Be by Shura. That's the song. Shura. She sounds like Robin.
Yes. You were like, is that Robin? I'm like, I know my Queen Robin. That's not her though.
Yeah. But I did want to shout out for a second Wardrobe on this show.
Yes. We're going to talk about that. Yes. Yes.
And their ability to make King Nick's hair look phenomenal through the teal hoodie and the lilac or lavender crew neck sweatshirt. Just like chef's kiss.
You're like, it's green. I'm like, I love gingers and green. I'm like, Claire, that's blue.
Listen, the reason why I thought it was green is because I have a tint on my laptop that takes away the blue light at night. And so it like has a yellow filter.
Yeah.
And also my glasses have a yellow filter.
I have that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when I took off the yellow thingy, I was like, oh, it's teal, but it looked legit green.
Got it. So like, doesn't that make you wonder, like episodes 1 through 3, you're like, what other colors did I see differently?
It just gives me a lot of respect for people that are colorblind.
Yeah, true. We talked about that too. True. But let's talk about some fashion. What are your toots?
Those are my toots. Those also, okay. My toots were also Tara's eye makeup during the party.
I loved her whole look too. That white dress, her hair.
It was cute. Uh-huh. Really, Elle's hair. Just, I think, is flawless.
The baby hairs. I love the baby hairs.
Yeah. And then I think, too, I like a lot of Charlie's funky sweaters.
We talked about that. Toots. Yeah. Love the sweaters. Yeah.
And all of Nick Nelson's tight ass clothing.
You know that Kit Connor, when he got this role, if he, you know, wasn't working out before, he was like, I'm going to be a rugby player. I got to work out. And it shows. He worked out. And he wore a lot of tight shirts. That party scene, that shirt. Ooh, yeah.
God love the Brits and the Europeans, really, and their tight clothing because, it looked nice.
Olivia Colman had a really nice sweater, too. I think it was the sweater she wore during his coming out scene. Also top notch. I
remember. Yeah.
That was a great one. We went over Tara's look. I really liked Elle's jacket. It's like this like light brown, kind of fuzzy jacket that she wears a lot to Higgs.
I remember that one. It's like a teddy coat.
It's a teddy coat, yeah. Isaac, underdeveloped character, he has this like button up that had like flowers on it, a little floral. I was like, oh, it's something for him.
It's a moment.
It's a moment. He needed to shine somewhere. Really liked that look on him too. I think that's it for the looks. Because, they wore a lot of uniforms.
I will say I did. Oh, I have one more look. I like Tao's look during the milkshake and musical scene.
Yes.
I don't remember exactly what it is, but it's like a colorful kind of chore or denim jacket. And then he has like the fanny pack crossbody bag.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I liked the whole vibe. Yes, I like his style.
He's very, he's like Gen Z king.
Yeah. And I wear a fanny pack. So like, I'm really fashionable.
Oh, you're so fashionable, Claire. I
started wearing it in Ukraine.
Oh, so soon we're going to see it on the runways. Yeah. Speaking of milkshakes. Ew.
Oh my God. Bubblegum. Nick Nelson.
Oh God. And then to perform afterwards.
That's what I'm saying. Like, aren't you supposed to not drink milk or consume milk when you play like a wind instrument?
Like, there's going to be some wind, people.
That's also just a lot of dairy. It is a lot of dairy.
So much dairy.
In general.
For this lactose intolerant person. Ugh, get it.
I love milkshakes, but I would never chug two.
No. Especially when they were like, the show starts in 15 minutes. I was like, oh, yeah, we're going down.
Yeah, terrible idea.
Terrible. What else? Is that it? I mean, do we have an MVP, Claire?
Nick if Nelson. Had to choose,
it's Nick Nelson. It's Nick fucking Nelson. People.
Is it obvious?
It is obvious.
I do feel kind of bad not picking Charlie. I'm going to be honest with you.
Same. But like, because I'm sorry. Yeah, it's Nick.
It's Nick. I just like, I love Charlie. I think my love for Nick and Charlie is like 55 to 45.
60-40.
It's like, yeah. It's one of those, right? Where like, yeah. It's close.
Yeah.
But I just think like the growth and just like the pure heartedness that is Nick Nelson. I just love him.
Oh, we love him. So, okay. Yes. I feel bad not picking Charlie because it's like, am I not picking myself? Do I not love myself? Because yes, I identify more with Charlie. So that's fine. So, you know, I'm going to give that to Charlie where it's like, I find myself in Charlie and Nick is what I want, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah. Which is funny. Am I going to cut this out? Maybe not. There is a parallel between, and I'm not just saying because he's my boyfriend, between, yeah, like Nick and Jason in a way of like finding out who you are, where it's like, I've always known in a way.
Yeah.
Or like Jason didn't.
Right.
So maybe, I don't know. But no, it's Nick fucking Nelson. He is the MVP. I mean, this show is filled with so many MVPs. Like originally I was like, oh my God. Cause you know, we weren't sure how we were going to do this episode. We're like, are we going to do half of it? And right. Then another half. And I was like, no, Clay, you're going off for like a few weeks. I cannot wait that long. We got to talk about it now. There was no way we were ever going to do it episodically. No. Because if we were going to do it that way, then maybe Charlie would have gotten an episode. Elle, definitely for sure. Tara, yeah. I love her too. But no, it's Nick. It's Nick.
It's Nick.
I feel like the word or phrase of this show is like either hi or sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to be hi. Hi.
It's got to be hi. If I were to choose my favorite episode, again, what is it about episode 3 of shows that I like so much?
Because by that point, they've gotten into their groove. Like, yeah. You know the characters. That's normally the, like, the rising action.
Yes.
Right? Or that's, like,
the universe has been set up. Yeah, by that. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. Again, Clearest Blue was in episode 3. The First mm-hmm. Kiss. I mean, Alaska. All of that. The fashion toots, all in episode 3. If I had to choose, it's episode 3.
I know. It's great.
Yeah, it is fucking great. So yes, last concluding thoughts, Claire, on Heartstopper.
Everyone should watch it multiple times.
Yes.
A phenomenal, joyous show. So what are your concluding thoughts?
It's squeal, squeal. Oh my God, love the show. those are my concluding thoughts because I did plenty of that. Yes, it's a phenomenal show, like you said. It's wholesome, full of endearing characters, just adorableness all around. It's what you want, it's what you need, it's what you want to mm-hmm. talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Mad props to Alice O, Kit, Joe, because we're, you know, on a first name basis here, Yasmin, all of them. We need shows like this to pop up every now and then.
Yeah.
To give us hope. You know, it's promising. I just totally. Love the show. Totally.
Totally.
Watch it, people. So good. Seriously, I was like, I cannot wait to talk about the show because I'm not going to wait to record like a drunk episode and then have it be my Everything is Love, because this is such an Everything is Love that it needs its own episode.
It is a mega Everything is Love.
Mega. I mean, I posted on Instagram. Claire and I are having an emergency recording session because we have to talk about this. It is not our gay panic. It is our like fanboy and girl panic.
Yeah, that's very accurate.
All right. Shall we wrap it up?
Let's do it.
To our awesome, amazing listeners, if you'd like to write to us sharing your thoughts on Heartstopper, please write to us at alterlovepodcast@gmail.com.
And you can also tweet us at, I hate that I said that. You can also message us on Twitter at @alterlovepod and on Instagram @alterlovepodcast, where undoubtedly there will be some Heartstopper content in our stories.
Oh, you know it. And like, okay, like I'm that kind of person where I'm like, oh my God, Like, why are they posting about other shit? I don't care, people. We're going to post about Heartstopper. And I also feel bad that, like, you know how, like, Amira's season was, like, cut short by other things? And I feel like, wow, isn't that a coincidence that we're doing that to Amira's season?
It's not our fault.
It's not our fault. Seriously, blame Netflix for releasing Heartstopper at the same time. They didn't know.
Exactly.
But yes, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Give us 5 stars because this episode is amazing because we're talking about Heartstopper. Nick Nelson approves, people.
Nick Nelson approves. So subscribe if you haven't already so you can get those weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, whenever Ben feels like updating the podcast on Wednesdays.
Yeah, these special episodes. And hey, if you want to hear other shit, just let us know. Maybe we'll do it. Who knows? There could be Alter blank, fill in the blank.
Who knows? Alter youngins.
Oh my God. Yeah, we could spend an episode talking about that. Or what's that one? Just like us? No, not just like us. Just Friends.
What are you talking about?
Just Friends. That was the other Dutch movie that we love with the Nick Jonas guy.
Oh.
And the perfect specimen guy. I mean, we could talk about that. Love Victor. All that.
Drop a suggestion.
Yes, let us know. But yes, thank you so much for listening to us. Mm-hmm. As always, alt.
Air.
Heartstopper. Nick Nelson, we love you. Claire, have a safe flight. Safe flight.
Thank you.
Let me know when you get there. Bye, everyone.
Bye.